99.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show. In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
This is In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, The Sports Animal, always streaming at 99.1thesportsanimal.com or on free WNML mobile app. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy New Year. I'm Vince Ferrara on our new night, Friday nights, at least for the time being, during the basketball season from 8 until 9. As always, back bigger and better, stronger, harder working than ever. Yeah. That's the matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, Mr. Tim Loy. Tim, Happy New Year. How are you, my man?
Happy New Year, man. I'm good. It's been a nice couple of weeks of respite, but I'm itching to get back to it.
Yeah, we've had the last couple of weeks off. The UFC has taken time off as well. Pretty much all of the major organizations have done so. Valor Fighting Challenge is back in action. First time in 2021. We'll get to that in a little bit. In fact, we'll have not only a fight preview of the card, tremendous card on Saturday from Tim, but the two guys in the main event who have a rematch from a very controversial fight back in September. Both of them will join us in the next segment at the same time. So that'll be fun. Give you the backstory and then their accounts of what happened in the controversial first fight and then what each of them thinks will happen in the second fight on Saturday. So that's our interview today. Plus, we'll take a peek ahead to what the calendar looks like for the UFC, remind you some of the big upcoming fights in the UFC. And since we have our matchmaker, we are going to tap into Tim's insight on the art of matchmaking, not just putting together fights in the UFC who we'd like to see matched up. We kind of do a little bit of that all the time, which is, of course, fun. But what are all the things that you have to take into account in matchmaking that maybe you don't realize from a promoter standpoint, a matchmaker, and also what the fighters are thinking in those scenarios, both on the regional level and on the national level? So we'll give you a little matchmaking 101 in our third segment. Let's jump in to our big three stories in the sport, as we typically do in our first segment. And Tim, one is catching up on UFC and Bellator and an update on what's been transpiring, some of the news from the holiday break. UFC releasing an extended promo for that UFC 257 headliner, Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier 2. How excited are you for this one? The UFC is certainly ready, putting out those hype promos.
To tell you the truth, I'm a Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor fight isn't just something that, you know, gets me super excited, but just the fact that Conor McGregor is fighting at all is always a spectacle, and it's always something to pay attention to. So, you know, I'll be dialed in. It seems like, listening to Poirier, it's almost a foregone conclusion that after this is over with, he may be jumping ship though. So who knows, as far as, long-term implications go, but, he's here and he's going to make a big payday to fight the man.
And even Dana White mentioning, hey, for all of you pirators of our stream, I got a big surprise for you. So he was laying the bait and letting them know that he might be busting some people that typically pirate their pay-per-view. So we'll see how that plays out. Dana White also saying that Justin Gaethje versus Charles Oliveira, Tim, quote, is probably next. When we talked about that as one of the possibilities for Oliveira before he gets a title shot, does this make sense to you?
Sure. Yeah. It's still a high profile fight, for both guys. Oliveira is he's the guy in the hot streak right now. Gaethje is just recently out of fighting for the world championship. So, yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. If Oliveira gets past Gaethje, then it's really hard to deny him.
The UFC is going to debut back on network television on ABC this time for that first event of 2021. So rather than ESPN, and they certainly will be on ESPN plenty of times, but UFC Fight Island 7 in Abu Dhabi will air live on ABC. That is pretty exciting. Now, the UFC in the past, when they had the Fox deal, they were on network television on Fox. Now, for the first time, because of the ESPN deal, they'll be on ABC. How significant is this for the UFC in the sport to be on network television, Tim?
Yeah, it's always a big deal to be on, you know, quote unquote, free TV. So, yeah, it's a big boy move going to ABC. That's top dog, man. That's huge, really.
The UFC also announcing they're going to raise the price of pay-per-views, which, of course, is not going to discourage those people from pirating the show if now it's even more expensive. So, sorry, Dana. Starting with UFC 257, price goes from $64.99 to $69.99. Some people are upset with it, but Dana White knows that McGregor show is going to drive a lot of traffic. I'm sure they're still trying to maximize ways to increase their profits. Is this going to be a turnoff for fight fans, or is there such a crave and desire for the UFC content that people will still pay for it, still follow along?
Man, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You know, it's all, you know, I think a lot of people already kind of felt the $65 was high. Going to 70 is just man, it's a hard bill to swallow for a lot of people. So I agree, you're gonna see a lot of more people going towards streaming through nefarious sources, I assume. That's you know, there you're certainly going to lose out, I think, on your your lay fan, if you will, your fans, right, that are kind of on the fringe. You know, your hardcores may go ahead and cough up your $5 more, but I don't think overall it's a great move.
Well, for Conor McGregor, I think some of those more casual fans, they would do it. But then when you're going to try to have a pay-per-view that doesn't include one of those major superstars, like UFC 258, headlined by Chris Weidman and Uriah Hall right now.
Yeah, it's a tough sell.
Yeah.
It's going to bomb real bad.
Yep. You better beef it up. You can't have McGregor or John Jones on every show. So it's tough. But, hey, it's business, and a lot of things are going to be costlier in 2021. Our second big story is the updated UFC fight cards. And we mentioned UFC Fight Island 7. It's January 16th in Abu Dhabi. This has got a tremendous main event, Tim. I know you're a fan of the action fight we're going to see in that main event between Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar.
Great fight. Yeah, that one is going to be really good. I'm excited for it. Along the lines of the last time that I was excited for a fight like this, when we saw Brian Ortega and Korean Zombie. That's kind of, you know, the action fight we're going to get here, I think. Really tough one to call. You know, Holloway's, you know, been fighting for world championships. Kattar is just such a tough out, though. They're both really going to bring it. I think it'll be a great main event. Could be a, you know, could go five rounds and be just a war.
Some vets and Matt Brown taking on Carlos Condit, Santiago Ponzinibbio taking on Li Jingliang. Joaquin Buckley is on the undercard, and next
Jacob
weekend,
Kilburn's a Valor vet.
That's right, Jacob Kilburn. He's taking on Austin Lingo. That'll be on the undercard. UFC Fight Island 8, January 20th. That one, the main card, is Neil Magny against Michael Chiesa. And then after that, you're going to have UFC 257, Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor. Tim, you mentioned not being over the moon excited about Poirier and McGregor. What about the rest of that UFC 257 card?
Well, coming with a co-main event of Dan Hooker and Michael Chandler, they got me there. You know, yeah. I'm excited for that. That certainly beefs things up from my end. And it's really a fight that I guess we'll say the UFC's going to try to pack in for that $70, you know, because that fight could headline its own card easily. You know, Amanda Ribas, you know, that's another name that they're really pushing. It's no surprise they would put her on a high profile event like this as well.
And that card will still fill out, I think, over the next week or so. But it's a really nice first pay-per-view for the UFC. After that, they got work to do.
Yeah.
And they will. They'll fill it up somewhat. UFC 258 is February 13th. Weidman versus Uriah Hall. Supposedly, there'll be Kamaru Usman, Gilbert Burns rebooked for that. So maybe that'll end up being the headline. I would think that would be the headline, wouldn't you?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, any world title fight, you know, is going to be the one. I would think that's what they're going to do. Yeah.
The following week on February 20th would be Derek Lewis and Curtis Blaydes, rescheduled from them not being able to get together in December. And then UFC 259 will be March 6th, Israel Adesanya against Jan Blachowicz. That's a battle of champs for Blachowicz's belt, right?
Yeah. Obviously, you know, it'll only be Blachowicz's title up for grabs. But yeah, that's their next kind of like, I guess what they'll try to sell is a mega fight, you know, and two champions going at it.
And then Amanda Nunes and Megan Anderson, which didn't happen in late 2020 as well. So that's kind of a peek ahead to the early schedule in 2021 for the UFC. And then, Tim, I know you put in a lot of work for it, but Valor Fighting Challenge 77, the pro show Saturday at the Cotton Eye Joe. We'll talk a little bit more about it in our fourth segment. But VFC 76, the all-amateur card the night before, was scrapped. Explain that and then hit on some of those highlights for Saturday.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. About 2 weeks ago, we got the word. It was more or less right the Monday after the governor put out the newest mandate, which runs through January the 19th. But essentially, the mandate that prohibits public gatherings over 10 people will kill our all amateur event that was set for this Friday night as part of our doubleheader. Essentially, the only exemptions, if you will, from this public mandate that allows more than 10 people at a public gathering is for professional athletics and collegiate athletics. We argued that our amateur athletes are akin to collegiate athletes and that neither are paid, and both would still be under the jurisdiction of their governing bodies. But that was not successful. So it is only pro fights that can happen. Pro athletics gotta make sure the Titans are still in business, you know. And so as a result, we're able to kind of, I guess you say, piggyback in that regard.
We'll talk to both fighters in the main event, but Greg Hopkins, Jason King, two headlines, a really stacked card with some pro debuts, but then some really talented pros on display at the Cotton Eye Joe Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it's an all professional event, which is really cool. We've got an early start time. We're going to be getting going, about 3:30 or so that day. The main event, that title fight, the rematch. There's, you know, these guys will keep their poker face on in public, man. And they don't like each other. You can tell. And when you've got legitimate heat between guys, I think it really just adds to the buildup of the fight. The first one that they had was outstanding. It was an electric atmosphere. You were there, and you know that this time at the Joe, it's gonna be lit, if you will. So also on the card, we've got a couple of Invicta vets going at it. Is Christina Adcock from right here in Knoxville takes on Serena De Jesus, who is out of Syndicate MMA out there in Las Vegas. So she trains with a lot of good females as well, like Roxanne Modafari. We're excited for that fight. And in her corner, UFC vet from the blast from the past, the old school heads out there. We've got the Beast Man, Marvin Eastman, coming in to corner her as well. We've got Logan, the Real Deal Neil on there. He's a Bellator vet that's come up through Valor. He'll be taking on an undefeated fighter from Asheville, North Carolina, Nathan Arriaga. Bubba Bad News Cruz is on this card. We've got a heavyweight from Chicago, Lorenzo Hood, who is something to behold. He is just an absolute specimen. Wait till you see this guy. He is a monster and a guy that you'll probably see in the UFC here eventually. And then we got the pro debuts of several amateur champions that people are familiar with. Garrett Sharp, Dan Bailey making their pro debuts, as well as a couple of our referees throwing down, Chris Bond and Roy Sanders, and a whole lot more.
Really excited about the card on Saturday. Tell people where they can get either the pay-per-view or get their tickets.
Yeah, we've got you know, social distancing in effect at the venue, so our capacity is limited. Still have a few tickets left, though, at FighterTix.com. And then if you want to watch it from the comfort of your home with all the best angles and Vince calling the action for you, you can check out our pay-per-view. It'll be at BFCMMA.com. And again, it's an early start time, so watch out on social media for our start time. It'll probably be about 3:30.
All right, that'll be fun. How about we hype that card up even more by talking to both of the fighters in the main event together at the same time? Jason King, Greg Hopkins will be fighting for the 170 strap Saturday at the Cotton Eye Joe. They join us together next here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Network.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
Now I may not be the worst or the best, but you gotta respect my honesty. And I may break your heart.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. It is Valor Fighting Challenge 77 coming up on Saturday, and the main event is the second meeting for the Pro VFC Welterweight Championship at 170. It's the second meeting between Greg Hopkins and Jason King for that 170-pound strap for the pros in Valor Fighting Championship. And both join us right now, both on YouTube via Zoom and here on In the Cage MMA Radio on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Gentlemen, how we doing? Jason, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Very blessed. I'm glad this show went off. With all the COVID and everything happening, you know, I was worried there that it was going to get shut down. So we're here. Looks like all systems are go. So I'm very blessed, very happy to be here.
Awesome. Greg Hopkins, how are you, sir?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Same thing Jay said. I'm more than ready to get this fight started, but more than happy to get it over with. I know he'll agree with me, man. This is as hard to train for the same guy for 5-6 months, man.
I was about to say the same damn thing.
Yeah.
All right. So let's set this up for our listeners, for people that maybe don't have it. I know a lot of our listeners do know that follow and go to our Valor Fighting Challenge shows, and maybe we're even there or have heard about the first meeting between Hopkins and King. But for those of you that aren't familiar with how this main event, the second meeting, has come to be, the first one was back September 12th in Chattanooga for that 170-pound pro welterweight strap. A lot of mutual respect going in. Greg had mentioned beforehand that he looks for things to get mad about and take out on his opponent, but couldn't find anything he disliked about Jason. And then the fight got into the first round, and like both of you guys had moments in that first round, and then the fight ended in the first round, that five-round fight at 258 of the first round. Jason King was awarded the victory on what was ruled an illegal kick to a downed opponent, a kick to the face. It was obviously disputed. A lot of people were disappointed with that kind of ending. I know Greg, after the fight, got on the mic and apologized and said, look, didn't mean it. No one wanted to end like this. Sorry for you guys. Hopefully we'll do it again. Eric Turner, Jason's coach, got on the mic to the crowd and said, Jason doesn't want to win this way, and we're going to do this again at first opportunity. Jason, you handed the belt back and said, I don't want to win this way. So that's how we got to this point of Hopkins King 2 for that Pro VFC Welterweight Championship. We'll start with you, Greg. That ruling, going back and looking at it, talking about it, have you changed at all your feeling on the ruling, the official's decision of an illegal kick to a downed opponent? Or do you still feel like, hey, there wasn't the intent or wasn't vicious or anything like that? Where do you stand on that now removed from it?
I still, to this day, feel the same way I felt as the day it happened. I push-kicked Jason. It was an up-kick. I push-kicked him. I was trying to push him off of me, and his face just happened to land right where my foot was. It was a complete accident. The referee afterwards, Justin Brown, said to me, he goes, I told him, I said, I know it. You know I didn't mean to do that. He goes, I know you didn't mean to. That was an accident. It happens. It happens. I went over to him there to the corner, and I told Eric Turner, I was like, hey, you know I didn't mean it. I mean, as pissed off as Eric was, you know, he did look at me, and he just said, I know it happens, but, you know, you could still see he wasn't happy. But No, I still think to this day that what the thing that rocked him was the punch. And I still think to this day that the Jason took that easy way out right there on that fight. I think that he realized that I was a little bit tougher than he expected, and for that reason they probably needed to go back to the drawing board after that. And I don't think that was a stupid decision or on his part, because he did exactly what he was supposed to do. But he did exactly what he was supposed to do, and there is a business side to this. Jason got a W out of that, and me and Jason have argued about this, and kind of Jason's like, you know, kind of put it down. He's like, look, man, if I was to make the decision and I made a decision, you know, yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want the win? But at the end of the day, I still think it should be changed to no contest. I didn't appeal it. I want to have this fight. I want to prove that one wasn't a fluke, and I want to run it back, and I want the 100% Jason that I can get, and I want to prove that one wasn't a fluke. That's what I want to do.
Jason, a lot there. What's your response to that?
I mean, most of it I agree with. You know, I don't think it was intentional. I have, you know, my teammates, my supporters, you know, some of them will come up to me like, oh, that was totally intentional. He meant to do that. And it's like, I mean, they're doing it because that's, you know, they're my supporters, they're my fans. You know, they're going to agree with whatever the agreeable thing is. I don't think it was intentional. I think all that is true. I don't know why it was a win by disqualification versus a no contest. I literally don't know. That was the ref's decision, not mine. If I have a disagreement about any of it, it's just that it wasn't fake. I mean, I do think that the punch got me, like, it was a hard-ass punch. It was a hard punch for sure, but it wasn't intentional. It was like, I think I can get an easy win out of this. Like, I didn't even know it was going to be a win. And another rule I didn't know was there's no five-minute rule.
I didn't know that one either. Yeah, I didn't know that one either. That one surprised me, actually. I thought he had 5 minutes. I thought the same thing. I did.
Yeah, so from my side of it, I didn't feel terrible. Like, I felt like I'm a little rocked, but give me 5 minutes. And I watched the fight. I talked to Eric, and then Justin said, no, you got to get up. And I was like, why do I got to get up? I got five. And he's like, no, you got to get up. And when I got up, that's when my world started doing the teeter totter thing. That's when they pulled in the doctor. The doctor made the call. I mean, again, up to the only part I disagree with in that whole thing was I took an easy way out. I don't remember, like, during that moment, I don't remember any of it. I got pieces from the doctor, from the ref, from Eric, and just basically pieced it together. And then I watched the fight. But you know, at the moment, the only thing I remember vaguely is like people giving me a belt. And I'm like, no, that's like, we got to fight first. We got to do something first. And like, no, you already fought. Like, no, it's like, I don't want it this way. So other than that, I don't think it was intentional. I think I got caught with a good punch. Before I got caught with a good punch, I caught him with a decent kick. And then we hit a scramble on the ground. It was going to turn into a great fight, great scrap. And then it just ended up really messed up, and like you said, it's finally here. It's finally come. January 9th at 9-ish, this chapter of our MMA careers will be over. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to putting, you know, going to the gym with somebody else in mind other than Greg. So it'll be nice to, you know, just put some closure on this chapter and just kind of move forward.
All right, so I'll stay with you, Jason. I'll come back and ask the same thing to Greg. Greg kind of mentioned it in training for the same person for 5 months. How difficult or frustrating is that? And who have been the key people to help you with that?
It feels like it's been longer than 5 months, to be honest. it is difficult. That's, I guess, like the only thing that has been difficult in preparing for this again is that. Like, I was already telling everybody, like, if they postpone this fight because of COVID or something, like, I'm going to need, like, Greg can fight on the same card as me, but I'm going to need somebody just in between me and Greg, just because I don't want to go like a whole year of just training for one person. That was probably the weird part. You know, like, even when I wasn't training hard and just like was recovering, we were looking at film. We were looking at, you know, a game plan of what we can do better. You know, like, we were looking at, you know, like, scheduling out what we need to do, how we need to improve this, that, and the other. And I've never prepared that long for anybody. You know, I've taken fights as short as 3 weeks notice and as long as like my normal, like 8 to 10-ish weeks. That's so normal for me that, like, you know, that's just, you know, that's just a day in the office. That's fine. But then, like, especially gearing back up training, I was like, man, we're still doing this fight. So, like, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but that was probably like it was difficult for sure. You know, just again, preparing for the same person for so long. It's a learning experience though. You know, if this ever happens to me for whatever reason again, where it's an immediate rematch or, you know, things get postponed, I'm just preparing for the same guy over and over again. Well, now I know what that's like. As far as training partners go, I mean, KMA's got too many to name, you know, and I don't want to forget anybody, but just all my normal training partners, you guys know who you are, all the pros, all the amateurs, all my coaches, you know, that just, you know, took the time to, you know, just be my partner. Special shout out to Vince. He cut his Christmas vacation in Florida a little short with his family, just so he can get back up here, keep coaching, keep training, keep helping me get ready. So extra shout out to him. Other than that, all my teammates. One other extra special shout out is Jeremiah Farmer, Morgan's husband. He's one of those just dudes in the gym that he has no intention of fighting ever, but he's got a good skill set. He's got a good wrestling background. And like, he would just show up with, like, again, he has no aspirations of fighting. He just shows up because he's a good dude and he wants to help out. So he showed up for a lot of rounds that not a lot of other people showed up for, especially during the holidays. So a special shout out to those two guys, but just, you know, thank you to the whole gym.
And it probably has been longer than 5 months since you guys fought in September and you had preparation for that. So maybe a little bit longer. So Greg, what about you? Talk about that training for one specific fighter during this time.
Yeah. The big transition for me was going from fighting somebody like Charlie Alexander, who's 5 foot negative, whatever his short ass is, to going and fighting Jason. And you know, I don't know how tall Jason is. I know he's over 6'2". I know he's a lot taller than I am. And so the transition from that to that was big as itself, and setting up a different game plan and transitioning from a wrestler to a stand-up guy. But yeah, it actually has been longer than 5 months for that. But I mean, like, it's just like every single day though, it's just, we're getting ready for this single fight, and I'm ready for it, man. And as far as my partners though, man, like, they know who they are, you know, all these guys that go, we got a new gym over there and it's huge, man. It's huge. And we're going to we're going to get a bigger one. Like, it's just, it's blowing up, and like the amount of people that are coming in to offer help, anything. Hey, I'll hold mitts for you, man. Hey, do you need somebody to do this? You may go to gym with you, work out. Hey, and like, we have so many people coming in, so many new, you know, different people, different weight cuts. Everybody's wanting to help, and you know, and you have your own thing. You know, I appreciate every single one of them. Everybody that has any advice, anything to come to me with. And Jason mentioned supporters earlier. I want to go ahead and say thank you to every single one of them. I wish I could do it individually, but I can't, you know, I mean, because it's blown up in the last few years. And there are a lot of people out there that pay attention to me that don't even let me know that they're paying attention, but they are. And being said that, I have got to start setting the right example, and trying to keep my cool a lot more here lately. It's kind of my thing for 2021, you know, because 2020 was so bad. But with that being said, I'm trying to be more stable, nicer guy. But with that being said, I know January 9th we have score to settle, we have business to take care of them, and as soon as the cage is locked, you know, I know Jason mentioned something about squashing it, and whatever it is between us, this tension, this nonsense, he said he's cool with ending it. I'm cool with ending it too at January 9th after 9 o'clock. I'm cool with that. We can share a shot of some Jim Beam Apple if you'd like. It don't matter to me. That's cool. And then afterwards, you can stay and party at the Joe or go home. I wish I could go home. I really do, but I won't be able to at that time. I know. So thank you to all of Gogi. I appreciate all you guys. And regardless or not, I know I've said a lot of things about Jason, about disrespect. There's three things that I do respect about him, and I'll say it here because I have him right here in front of me. One is he did re-sign that contract. And once he re-signed the contract, it kind of just, you know, it let me know that, hey, he's still game and he's not afraid. I'm not in his head. It's not going to be a problem. Two is, nevertheless, nothing else matters. This guy's still putting a paycheck in my pocket and putting food on my table. You know what I'm saying? And like win or lose, draw, anything, I'm still getting paid. So like, I thank Jason for that. And I respect him for that because he's still putting food on the table for us. And last but not least, man, thank you to Valor. Thank you to you, Vince, and everybody who has given me the platform to do all this stuff. I really appreciate all you guys.
Well, appreciate that, Greg. And so last thing from you, Greg, and then I'll let Jason wrap it up. From a technical standpoint, a finish standpoint, how is this fight, Greg, going to go down on January 9th?
I definitely hope it's not a repeat of, you know, last time, but I still say that you're not going to go 5 rounds with it. It's not going to happen. It'll be finished.
Jason, how does this go down January 9th?
I agree. I don't know Greg's amateur record, but I don't think I've had one fight. This is my 28th fight, amateur and professional. And I've been to a decision exactly one time. And that was not my decision to do. So I mean, we're both finishers. We're both gunners. That's why we're the main event. I think we would have been the main event regardless of rematch or not a rematch or drama or no drama. I mean, we're both finishers. We both go out there. We finish fights and we live by the sword and die by the sword. So, I mean, that's what main events are all made of. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Yeah, it's not going to go to a scorecard. Other than that, I do have a question for Greg, though. Do you have the portable sauna from Bellator behind you?
No, bro. My girl got me that one for Christmas.
Gotcha.
Because we got the sauna at Bellator, and I know that a carry-on bag was like $60 or $70, and I knew that we had to take two flights. So me and Logan were discussing it. Hey, man, it's going to cost us like $140 to take this home. Why don't we just get a new one when we get home? So we left it there. And then every other fighter was taking theirs to the airport. And I was like, how much does that cost to take? Like, oh, it's like $30. I was like, God dang. And then once my girl saw it, she's like, oh, man, you need one of those. So, like, that was my Christmas deal this year. It's awesome, too. Those things are legit, man. Real deal, Holyfield. Love them.
Nice. And by the way, for those wondering, because Greg was wondering, how tall are you, Jason?
I am 6'3". I'm the worst Korean to ever walk the hills of Tennessee. So yeah, no, I'm 6'3". Hopefully I'm done growing.
The Asian persuasion, that is Jason King. Greg Hopkins, normally one of my broadcast partners, but still an active fighter with Valor Fighting Challenge. They will be fighting in the main event Saturday at the Cotton Eye Joe. It's Valor Fighting Challenge, and you can get your tickets at fightertix.com or come out to the Cotton Eye Joe. There are limited seats available, but you don't want to miss King versus Hopkins 2 after what happened the first time. Both guys nice enough to join us here on In the Cage MMA Radio today. Two class acts. Guys, can't wait to see you on Saturday, cage side, and do your thing and perform at the highest level as great pros with bright futures ahead of you on Saturday. Thanks so much for the time, and appreciate you being on our radio show with us today.
Thank you, guys.
All right, God bless, man.
All right, that is Jason King, Greg Hopkins, in the main event Saturday at the Cotton Eye Joe. We will recap what those guys had to say, and we will take a look at what it's like to matchmake in MMA. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. Happy New Year, our first show of 2021, as the UFC will return next week. But we got Valor Fighting Challenge 77 in Knoxville, the Cotton Eye Joe on Saturday. Tim Loy, my co-host, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, back with us here after I talked to Greg Hopkins and Jason King in our last segment. Tim, before we get into matchmaking, the art of it, just a quick thought on what you've heard from Greg Hopkins and Jason King in their rematch coming up on Saturday.
You know, it seems like it's been longer than it has really since the first fight, just because the anticipation for this one has never really dipped. You know, it's something that, we've been talking about since the first one. So I'm excited that it's finally here. You can tell both guys are ready to get this over with and settle this thing. Both guys seem very confident. I see where both guys have reason to be confident at this point. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out, because I think the atmosphere for this is going to be electric. The first one was. And I think that with the added heat coming into this one, that we'll have the Joe certainly at a fever pitch. And I'm excited to see how it goes down, man. I think that both guys are certainly live here. You know, after seeing the first fight, we know that Jason's able to land and use that length. We know that Greg has his fight ending power, you know, and so how do these guys make the adjustments coming out of that one?
It's so interesting that Jason King was the one that decided not to take the belt on the disqualification of Greg Hopkins, but they're the ones that wanted the rematch with Greg Hopkins. Is that right? Is that the way it played out?
I don't think that there was any either side that didn't want a rematch.
Right.
I think that Greg was concerned that maybe the rematch wouldn't materialize because he felt like, he hurt Jason in that fight. I don't think it's certainly any sort of situation where Jason is going to run from Greg. I think that they may have a little more, what's the word? I just respect, I guess. Not saying that he wasn't respected before, but I think that, you know, their ears are perked up now, and they know they've got to take this one seriously, or things can go sour.
It definitely is a must watch, whether it's live or on pay-per-view this coming Saturday. All right. Matchmaking has so many different layers to it. It's more than just, hey, I'd like to see this guy go up against this guy. Tim Loy is a matchmaker and has run a promotion before and knows matchmaking from the regional and the national level. So we'll just say this is the art of matchmaking version one that we'll do on the show. We'll revisit this because there are a lot of different layers and we're not going to have time to cover all of them, but we wanted to share some insight from Tim on some of the factors involved from a promotion standpoint and a fighter standpoint as well. From a regional standpoint and matchmaking versus a national standpoint, what would be some of those bigger differences that you could point out to our listeners?
Well, you know, when you're matchmaking on the national level, you have all the resources in the world at your disposal. When you're matchmaking for UFC, when you're matchmaking for Bellator, and I've helped do some matchmaking for national level cards before, so I've had that taste and that experience, and that's great. I mean, that's what you want to do, because ultimately you can put together the best fights that you can possibly do, because you have the budget and you have the means and you have the platform, you have the prestige to make those fights happen. On the regional level, on the other hand, it is not so easy to get the best to fight the best, mainly because guys on the regional scene, for one, are all trying to still make it to the next level. And so you've got different trains of thought. You've got the train of thought that, hey, I want to beat the very best in my area. I want to fight guys with good records. I want to put together a good resume so I get noticed by the UFC or Bellator and I get called up. There's a train of thought that, hey, I don't want to take a risk fighting guys that might beat me that are 50-50 fights right now and derail my chances of going to that next level. So you have to find that balance in between different, you have to know kind of what you're dealing with and how to deal with particular fighters in different ways and kind of know what their end goal is and what they want. So making fights on the regional level is the best of the best fights. It's more difficult. Guys are going to really want a lot of money to take a risk at this point in their career. And so on the regional level, it's just much tougher to do. You got to kind of find that happy medium of making fights that will sell tickets and that fans are still invested in seeing while still keeping it within your budget and within your means. You know, if you've got a venue that holds 1,000 people, then you can't make a budget that it costs you more than the amount of money you can draw in, you know? So when you start limiting your ability to just, you know, open the purse and pay anything you want to pay, like Bellator and the UFC goes, then you're a little bit more limited in the fights that you can make. However, on the national level, you can make the very best of the best. And that's why I've always enjoyed getting to help do Bellator cards when I've had the opportunity from time to time, because I can really make those dream fights with the guys around here that everybody wants to see. They're much more willing to take that step up on that big platform.
So it's really on the regional level, you have to have an understanding of where the leverage is, whether it falls with the promotion or the fighter, right? Yes. Because you talked about them wanting a lot of money, but guess what? If there's not the competition for their services on a regional level, and this might be their one pathway, then maybe they don't have the leverage that they thought it would be on you. And then you have to realize what the fighter's options are also.
Yeah, you know, right now, currently, it's one of the few things that COVID has, I guess, benefited promotions in a way. The promotions that are still able to run are few and far between. And so right now, the supply and demand balance falls in favor of the promotion, because there's very few promotions able to run right now and a whole heck of a lot of fighters trying to fight right now. And so right now, the negotiating power kind of lies with the promotion. You kind of got your pick of the litter. You've got so many guys that want to fight from all over the West Coast, Hawaii, and they're willing to pay their own travel to get out here rather than sit on the shelf indefinitely. They're coming from states where they just don't even know when they're going to be able to compete again. So right now, you kind of do have that the edge over the fighter, if you will, as far as your negotiating power. Now, when things are all the way open up and you've got competition in states all around you, especially in the area where we are, where Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Kentucky, Virginia, all those states are so close. And so there's all these other promotions that will be competing with you for talent. And at that point, the balance gets a lot more close as far as the fighter's ability to, you know, demand more and you kind of be able to pick and choose.
Interesting. Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Finding Challenge, Vince Ferrar here on In the Cage MMA Radio. Do want to remind you, you can get our podcast on our website. We have it archived at 991thesportsanimal.com. Just go to the show tab or audio tab, and it's always there for you to be able to go back and listen to past shows. We had a tremendous run in 2020, debuting the show, and we're going to do it bigger and better in 2021. All those will be archived there. Or get our podcast. We post them shortly after each show airs, and you can get them anywhere you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Google, or Spotify, or anywhere else. And just look for In the Cage MMA Radio. You can follow us on social media as well. Tim on Facebook, just search for Tim Loy, and then myself on Twitter at Vince Sports. And then our website address again is 991thesportsanimal.com. And Tim, there's so much more on this matchmaking topic. We're going to revisit this as well. Tremendous insight on that part of it. And there's a lot more layers that I think it'll be neat for our listeners to continue to learn about matchmaking. All right, the lightning round is next, where we will clean up some of the things we didn't get a chance to hit on earlier in the show, and a few more notes from the UFC as well. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio on 99.1 The Sports Channel.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick, but we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA lightning round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1 The Sports Animal, the Lightning Round. It's powered by KMAA. They offer classes for children, self-defense, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, MMA, personal training, kickboxing, yoga, and martial arts. For the in-depth training at KMAA, many of the students have catapulted themselves into professional careers in the UFC, Bellator, and Invicta fighting promotions. They will help you achieve your goals. Call them at 865-771-9775 or visit their website at knoxmma.com. They're located at 4201 Martin Mill Pike in Knoxville. We talked to one of those students, one of those instructors at KMAA, and Jason King, who is in the main event fighting Greg Hopkins. That was in our interview segment. And Tim, tell everyone about the Valor Hour, where they can get a fight-by-fight breakdown and predictions on the upcoming VFC show.
Yeah, you know, we do the Valor Hour every week. It drops on Thursdays. You can catch it on Spotify, iTunes, you know, Stitcher, anywhere you'll find your podcast, just type in the Valor Hour. You can listen to that in all the archives. And the week of the fights, like this week, we dive into every fight. We do predictions and preview of every fight, and it's kind of like a little fight companion. If you're going to watch the show, it's really nice to listen to and kind of know what you're about to watch.
All right, Dana White says he is not in favor of open scoring, citing that it could lead to a lot of bad third rounds. What's your thoughts on that theory, Tim?
It'll lead to a lot of good third rounds. you know, I think by the same argument, we've been doing open scoring on our amateur fights now for a year. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you've really seen a whole lot of guys using that time to cruise. I think more so you see whoever's down using that time to really turn it on and sometimes make comebacks and win.
And another thought to maybe shoot that theory down that Dana White had is, just because a guy is ahead on the judges' scorecards doesn't mean he wants to win on the judges' scorecards.
Oh, absolutely.
Guys want finishes. Ladies want finishes. Fighters want finishes. So even if you're ahead, it doesn't mean you're not still going to go after it. All right. Speaking of going after it, Michael Chandler has big dreams, and he's going to fight Dan Hooker, as we talked about. He wants to put a stamp on his debut by finishing Dan Hooker, and then he thinks that he might be able to possibly entice Khabib Nurmagomedov to return to the UFC. What do you think about that theory?
I think that it is awfully wishful thinking on Michael Chandler's part. I think mm-hmm. that if Khabib's going to come back, it's going to be on his own terms. And I don't think that beating Dan Hooker is going to really catch his attention any more so than, Charles Oliveira beating Justin Gaethje. honestly.
No question about it. And then one other note, Betch Kohea underwent appendix surgery, so she had to withdraw from USC Fight Island 7. We'll have a full preview of that card next week here, as we will be back to UFC Fight Week here on the show. Tim, awesome job. We will see you at the Cotton Eye Joe Saturday afternoon, fightertix.com or vfcmma.com for the pay-per-view broadcast with myself and some analysts. Tim, great stuff. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Vince. Likewise.
That is Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I'm Vince Ferrara. Thanks so much. Podcast on the way. Tell all your friends about May 1 hour show here in Knoxville. In the Cage, MMA Radio on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Good night.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio, as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.